experiencing something I haven't experienced before. I don't know if it's just a phase. But normally the way I get a message is I don't have a clue what I'm going to preach on. And then I wait on the Lord and begin to seek Him, seek His Word, study, pray, cry out, and He begins to talk to me. But I have to believe in what I'm going to preach in. If I don't believe in it, I'm just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So I'll study, and then usually I get excited about what I believe the Lord's showing me. And as a result of me getting excited about that, I get a fire in my belly. Because I don't like preaching without the fire in my belly. Well, the last 2-3 months, I don't have a clue what I'm going to preach on, but I got a fire in my belly before I even know what I'm preaching on. And I don't know what I'm going to say, but I can't wait to hear it. And I feel a stirring in it. I don't know why that, and that's happened the last month or two or months where, man, I'm feeling something and don't even know what it is. And then, wow, now I see and I'm excited. And again, early in the week, I thought, man, I feel that fire in my belly and I don't have a clue what I'm going to preach on. And then I begin to wait on the Lord and let Him begin to talk to me. And last week I preached on one of the ways to detect a false prophet was it's not so much what they say as what they don't say. And that's not the only test, but I was trying to bring that out. I want you to open your Bibles today to the book of Joel. I want to preach on passing the sound test. Passing the sound test. I told my wife this morning, I said, I've never heard this preached on. I've never preached on it, but this is what the Lord is dealing with me. When you preach on something you never heard preached on, you get a little nervous because you think, man, I hope I'm not into false doctrine. But I don't believe so. And I think I can bear this out by the Word of God, which is a good test. In the book of Joel, we Pentecostal people, if you've been in Pentecost very long, and at times when you've seen a real time when God is moving in a church service, there is a certain sound that I become accustomed to, that I recognize. And that sound, I'm not talking about from heaven. I'm talking about the sound that is a result of God moving. I've learned to recognize that sound, the noises that are made in a move of God. And I'm going to try to explain. In the book of Joel, we Pentecostal preachers, we people of this faith, in the book of Acts, we love to quote what Peter did when they were all in one accord. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the houses where they were sitting. We read how they were filled with the Holy Ghost and how, verse 6, this was noised abroad. And then Peter gets up to explain to the audience what has happened. Verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour. And then he said, verse 16, please notice, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We're going to look at what Joel said. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And as a result of God pouring out his spirit, There's going to be some sounds, some noises made. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see vision. Now that's after the Spirit's poured out. But what about before the Spirit is poured out? I want you to go to the book of Joel in the Old Testament, please. Because, yes, we're familiar with the sounds after the Holy Spirit is poured out and a good move. I want to talk about the sounds that are being made before the Spirit is poured out, which I believed happened in those 11 days as they were waiting for God to fulfill His promise of pouring out the Holy Spirit. Please notice in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, because this is the promise that he is quoting. And it shall come to pass afterward. After what? What was taking place before God poured out his Spirit? Because he said, it will come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And that's what Peter got up, and Peter was saying, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now we know what happened after the Spirit was poured out. But Joel says there's something that takes place before it's poured out. And it is that which he spoke of before that opened the door and paved the way for the Spirit to be poured out. It positioned them. So it says that in Joel 2:28. So back up, because he said afterward. Well, I want you to look at verse 15 of chapter 2, because this is what happens before the Spirit is poured out. I know the sound after it's poured out. I'm curious of what is the conditions before. Says verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. And here, verse 17, notice this. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over. And so we see what he is saying leads up to when the Spirit is poured out. Afterward. After what? After this. And I want you to see the sounds that are being made. Let them weep between the porch and the altar. Let them, and what you find in a sense here, some real travailing in prayer. You're reading about what led up to this outpouring is some real travailing intercessory prayer, pleading and interceding for God's mercy. Oh God, pour it upon us. I'm preaching today on, does it pass the sound test? Last week I preached on a false prophet. Does it pass the Bible test? Is it preaching all of it? Let me say this. The fruit of a false doctrine, which I believe came around the 80s, didn't pass the sound test. What do you mean, Pastor? There was a teaching when I was pioneering a church in late middle 70s, going right in 1980, that I'd not heard before. And it was under the umbrella of the faith movement. In that faith movement, what they called it, they began to teach a teaching that I believe is not biblical. And it didn't pass the sound test, and I'll explain what I mean. I'll get to that a little bit later. Paul said in the New Testament, in the book of Corinthians, if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how are the soldiers to recognize it to go to battle? Oh, you remember that passage? That in the army they would blow a certain tune, a certain sound, and when they heard that, they recognized it. That means that suit up, we're going to battle. And you see that in cowboy movies, etc. But Paul said, if it gives off the wrong sound, how shall they know? The sound that this false teaching gave off did not equip us properly. And I'll get to that in a little bit. You find this truth often taught in Scripture. Does it pass the sound test? I mentioned this morning in Sunday school when Isaac was going to bless his two sons, or Jacob came in deceiving, pretending to be Esau, his older brother, and his father said, you pass the smell test, but you don't pass the sound test. Isaac was blind, couldn't see, but he could hear. And when Jacob spoke, it's me, father. Well, you don't sound like Esau. You don't pass that. But he went ahead. And oh, the heartbreak that followed by not making the sound test pass. In the Old Testament, there's another story similar along this line when the prophet Samuel, who had already installed Saul to be king, said, Saul, here is what the Lord needs to have you do. You're to destroy the Ammonites and utterly destroy them. Destroy the animals, destroy just everything. And Saul did not obey the Lord. He spared the best sheep, and he spared some of the oxen. And there was appointed a time when Samuel was to come after the battle, and they were going to make a sacrifice and a thanksgiving unto God. And as Samuel shows up, it doesn't sound right. He hears the sound of the bleating of sheep, and he hears the, I don't know, how do you say it? The bellowing of oxen? What do oxen? I know chickens cluck, but I don't know what oxen do. But he heard a sound, and it didn't go over well. It didn't sound right. And he said to Saul, why am I hearing some sheep? Why am I hearing these oxen? Meaning you were supposed to utterly destroy them. How many have ever heard the expression, something doesn't sound right? And here Samuel said, something doesn't sound right. God told David. David wanted to know, when am I going to battle? Shall I go to battle? And God said, yes, but you wait until you hear a proper sound in the mulberry trees. You're not to go to battle when you hear another sound. You must hear the sound in the top of the mulberry trees. Maybe it was wind blowing through it. But you better wait till you better line it up that it be a proper sound. Elijah's in a cave. You find this quite often. It's got to pass the sound test. Elijah's in a cave. He's depressed. He's discouraged. He's just had one of the greatest victories. God's answered by fire. He's destroyed 900 of the prophets, 450 of Baal, and 450 of the grove. And then when Jezebel hears of it, she threatens his life, and he goes on a great journey, runs 40 miles, I believe. He ends up in a cave. And he's in that cave. God's trying to pull him out of that cave, get him out of that condition he's in. And there was lightning. I think lightning, maybe it's not the lightning, but how many have heard thunder after lightning? How many are even hearing me today? And Elijah doesn't respond by the lightning. And then he hears the strong wind, and it doesn't budge him. But then he heard the still small voice. That's the right sound. He knew when it had the sound of God on it. Oh, may God give us spiritual understanding to know what we need to hear. It's got to sound right. What makes it sound right? When God's in it. You have that same kind of thought, that vein of thought, when Jesus showed up at a house and there was a lot of noise being made. There were hired mourners. And there's a difference between a hired mourner and someone who has actually a child yourself, and nobody needs to hire you to weep as you're concerned over that child. But Jesus, as he hears this sound, he says, why are you making this? And he called it ado. Why all this noise? Jesus knew it don't sound right. Something wrong in what I'm hearing. You have the same thing that is taught when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you remember? The king said, when you hear the sound of the sackbut and the psaltery and certain musical instruments, you dance. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they heard the sound, but they said, we're not dancing. We don't dance to that sound. We're not responding to that sound. When I'm trying to preach today, we need to have a deaf ear to some things we hear. And it was not until they threw him into the fiery furnace, they did dance, but it wasn't to the sound of the sackbut. It was the sound, it was the Lord that was there. And we'll dance to that. How many know in nature there can be a sea lion? You ever see these things by the thousands coming out of the ocean? They're beaching up on the rocks. And then there's the mothers will go into the sea and the little pups are left behind. And then the pup, when mama's gone, is, where's mama? And they start making a sound. And they'll go to this one and they'll, and when the mother comes back, she knows the sound. Even though there's hundreds and maybe thousands of little newborn pups crying out for their mother, the mother knows the sound of her pup. And it's amazing how she'll find her. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Oh God, give us the maturity to recognize the right sound. Jesus said, my sheep know my what? My voice. A stranger they will not follow. But I believe the church, I believe that Pentecost heard a wrong sound and went after it. And it hurt the Pentecostal movement. And that was the faith movement. And let me explain. The faith movement came along. And the faith movement was steeped into your confession. And they took a verse out of the Old Testament and they made it say more than it was intended to say. And that verse is, life and death are in the power of the tongue. I may remember that. And they took that verse and they used it to fit into their teaching in the faith movement. And it basically said this, if you're sick, don't say you're sick. Because by you confessing that, you're creating the reality of the sickness. No, you're already sick. But don't say you're sick, say you're healed. How many remember that? Don't say anything negative. Because there's power, and they're giving you a power that really the scriptures are not saying you have. It is true. Well, then what kind of power do we have? It is true, life and death are in the power of the tongue. But it's not the kind of power that God has. It is a power that could destroy relationships. Just the other day, someone said, "Do you know what she said?" And he told me what she said. And I could tell it hurt the relationship. It's killing it. It's true in that realm. But it doesn't mean that you have the kind of power that only God has to give life and to heal. And so the concept was, if you're sick, don't say you're sick. Say you're healed. And they try to give you a Bible and quote, "Well, by his stripes we're healed." And now, don't think for 1 minute I don't believe in divine healing. I believe in divine healing. Don't think for 1 minute but the formula that they used, and I'm going to explain why, hurt the Pentecostal movement. And I'm going to explain how it hurt it. Smile at me. Life and death and the power of the smile. Don't confess. Now this is, I'm not saying we shouldn't say right things. But they took that scripture and made it say more than the boundaries and the confinement it gave it. You don't create the reality by your words. The only one who creates the reality is God. And that's not to say we're not responsible for what we say. The Bible does say don't murmur, don't complain. You get around a murmur and a complainer and it does have its power, it does its effect. But they went so far with this, if you were sick, don't say I'm sick. Say you're healed. And 10 years later, the person... And by doing that, they were shutting down a reality to try to create another reality. No, you're sick. And I want to show you, when Jesus came along, did he take that verse and teach that concept that was taught in the faith movement that suppressed emotions, that suppressed the priest, as it said, afterward? But before God put out his spirit, what was the tongue to do? It was to weep. It was to seek God. It was to go ahead and express the reality that is there. But the faith movement, ignore what is there and confess what is not there. And they think that's faith. That's not faith. That's lying. Now I know I'm plowing rough ground. But I know it destroyed and hurt the Pentecostal movement. And let me explain and talk why. I remember when Brocky, when we found out he's got cystic fibrosis, I had people come up to us and say, "Don't say he has cystic fibrosis." They're lucky I'm a pastor. But I had people come up, and maybe they're well-meaning. That's not my point. It's a false doctrine. And if I accept that, then I suppress the emotion. And then I don't pour my heart out to God. Just confess this is going to happen. And you know what I found in the faith movement? And I went to a lot of these meetings. And it took me a while to figure it out. There's something missing. Something doesn't sound right. And can I tell you what didn't sound right? You never found at the end of the service certain sounds because the teaching suppressed it. Let me go back to Pentecost as we know it. This church knew Pentecost. And I'm not saying that we don't have it. That's not my point. I'm saying what hurt Pentecost movement. Let me go back to the 70s where I just came to God. And I was born into a fire. Into a move of God. Charlie had just come back to God. But in that move of God, there was a certain sound you could recognize. At the end of the preaching, when people would come forward to pray, there was a multitude of different sounds that were being heard. There was one sound over here of somebody that got saved, and they're just thanking Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you for saving me. It was genuine and sincere. Over here in the prayer room might be someone quietly praying, but you could, without hearing it in the decimal of noise, you could sense it in the intenseness of their, as they're talking with God. You could just see them really communicating with God. And it created a certain sound. And then over here, I could see Pamela. Her husband's in Vietnam. And we're getting reports back of soldiers dying daily. And her husband is there, and she is interceding and weeping and praying and asking God for His mercy. Watch over my husband. Watch over my husband. And there was a sound you heard. And then over here, I remember Charlie's mother. And I remember her prayers in the prayer room. And I mean this in no disrespect, but there was a certain tongue I often heard. And it was Cece, and then she would take off and go into other tongues. But there was a sound that I heard of her interceding and pleading for God to move. And when you read the prophet, he said, yeah, God's going to pour out His Spirit afterward. After what? And there were certain sounds that were going up. How many know the Bible says a fervent, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? And also you have in the Old Testament the Hannah praying in the temple. And as she's weeping, the prophet Eli noticed and he thought she was drunk. But boy, being the intensity. And if you could have gotten close to her, you would have heard her pleading, oh God, I have no children. I have no children. God, give me children. And you heard the intensity in her cry. There was a sound that God hears. But the faith movement came along, and very deceptively, it put that fire out. It put the fire out to where now, okay, I won't weep because they're healed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see how deceptive it is? And you didn't hear in the faith movement, around the altars, you heard certain sounds, but it put the fire out of many other sounds that collectively together come up before God and sounds like beautiful music. A broken and a contrite spirit, I will not despise, God says. But the faith movement, I'm not questioning the motive, I'm saying it didn't sound right. Even the fruit of its meetings, it couldn't give off that sound. Oh, don't cry, don't cry, it'll be all right. Just believe it. Just accept it. I didn't accept it. When someone heard me weeping over my dad and travailing over my father, out of that movement came that teaching and those, oh, just be calm. No need to cry. Just confess that He's saved. He's not saved. And I'm not giving up until I see Him saved. And I kept crying. And thank God blind Bartimaeus didn't buy into that. Blind Bartimaeus, he cried and they tried to hush him. I don't know if they were faith people or what. But they said, just hush. He said, I'm not hushing. He cried the louder. And then he cried the louder. And importunity that Jesus taught was there. Let me show you why that teaching is false in so many areas. They think that by confessing, you're creating a reality that you want. But you're doing so without the intercessory prayer, without the travailing, without the things necessary. Jesus never taught that. In fact, if it is true that your words create a reality, therefore, we don't have that much power. If it did, I'm confessing right now, I won the lottery. If it's true, I confess this, I confess that. And this is no sermon to allow being negative. It's not my point. When the scripture says life and death are in the power of the tongue, yeah, when Israel murmured, it wiped them out. So God, this isn't opening the door up to say you can just say anything you want and go around murmuring and complaining. Because God don't like worrying and complaining and whining. How many know that? But it doesn't mean that you can just confess your own reality, your own desires, even though they may agree with certain things, as though it's done. Because then it removes the part that is so necessary. And I say that that movement didn't have a right sound to it, the fruit of it. And I'd go in at the end. I didn't hear that, what we used to hear in Pentecost. How many know the sound we heard in Pentecost? Or any time when a real move of God comes, you're liable to hear all kinds of things. Look at how many times, just to use the Bible to prove that that teaching is not accurate. After the Holy Ghost was poured out, Peter and John were on their way to the temple, and they saw a man lame. And you remember the confession he made? Well, if that was true, then they surely wouldn't have confessed what they did. Because they confessed, silver and gold have I none. Don't say that. You'll never get blessed money-wise. Say, I'm blessed. Say, I'm this, I'm that. No, he's telling the truth. Silver and gold have I none. You know why I can say that? Because I'm not bound with covetousness. And it didn't bother me. If God blessed me with that, then fine. But they were telling the truth. And there was no reprimand of the Holy Spirit to say, don't say that. How come Jesus, when he was on the cross, how come he said, I thirst? Don't say you thirst. Say, I thank you for the drink you're about to give me. Now, I'm all for positive thinking, but there's a difference between positive thinking and the Spirit of God quickening you and giving you faith. They're two different things. And that teaching and movement hurt Pentecost big time. It really did. It took out the prayer warriors. It took out the intercessory prayers. It took out those, because I can't deal with the reality as it is. I have to deal with this reality they think they want me to have. And yes, God wants me to have it. But folks, it says afterward. After what? After the priest in the altar were pleading God for his mercy and his grace. The faith movement didn't know how to deal with affliction. They didn't know how to deal with pain. They wanted you to treat it as though you didn't have it. But how many know many are the afflictions of the righteous? But the Lord delivers them out of them all. And I'm not opening up the door to say that we don't have a responsibility with our tongue. But this idea, well, you just can't be normal. I mean, some of them people, you can't even tell a joke around. How many understand the heart and where I'm coming from and the Bible I'm trying to use to that Jesus, he didn't teach that. All cults are birthed out of usually one or two verses that become their overall thing, and that's all they emphasize. And it takes them no time to preach the rest of the Bible. And how many know that all Scripture is given for profit? When the king was sick, when he found out he was sick, this wicked king in the Old Testament, he didn't start confessing, I'm well. He began to weep and repent before God and cry out to God. And God heard that and brought healing to him. But it wasn't because of some man-made taking a Bible verse and taking out of its context and making us almost the reality creators by our confession. We don't have that kind of power, folks. I hate to tell you, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. That's where our power is. That's where our strength is, in the Spirit of God. And oh, it's not by might, Not by power, but by your confession. No. Not by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. And, oh, this is not to say I can just blabber whatever. No. But if there's a move of God, you know what brought that revival that I was birthed into? You know what brought that move of God? And it seems like I'm being combative, and I don't mean to, but Paul, when he came against false doctrine, you thought he's combative. He just nailed it. It wasn't because of the confession movement. It wasn't even birthed yet. And this church knows what it is to have a move of God and have the power of God. And this church knows what it is, I understand, to have that faith movement come in and really hurt it. And it hurts it by suppressing a reality, by pretending it's not there. No, Charlie, you do have bad eyes. He's wearing glasses. You do have problem with your hearing. I do have bad eyes and got corneas. And if we can't admit do I believe in healing? Yes. Well, I don't have a formula for it, neither do they. And they're not getting the people healed as they would like to claim. They're not emptying hospitals. God's the healer, and he does heal, and he does do it, but he does it on his terms and not us coming up with something manipulating. And, oh, look for the certain sound. And I begin to notice, you know, some don't sound right in this thing. As I mentioned, how do I detect a false prophet? Not what I hear, what I don't hear. It's that overall mixture. And God loves a broken and contrite spirit. I will not despise. There's no room for a broken and contrite spirit in the faith movement. There's no room for intercessory prayer in the faith movement. There's no room for crying in the faith movement. I know, I've been with those boys. And it's a false doctrine. I know you know that. Someone said this should have been preached 20 years ago. Well, God knew what he was doing. Affliction, God will use affliction. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I don't understand all about the afflictions, but I know God uses it, and I'm not going to ignore it. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. People, don't let your feelings be suppressed. Don't let the reality of the condition that you're in be suppressed. You're not being lack of faith when you pour out before God and express what it is you're going through. Let that come alive in the church. Let that rise up. Let it come forth. When Elijah was in the cave, and I'm about done. When Elijah was in the cave, look at what he confessed. Elijah said, and this is a man of God, a man subject to like passions as we are. He said, I'm the only one. How many know what he confessed did not bring about that reality? And God had to say, no, Elijah, you're not the only one. I have 7,000 have bowed their knee to Baal. You'll notice God didn't come to him and say, don't say that, Elijah. Don't state what it is. But not only that, what you're stating is not even true. And therefore, you're stating a false premise. And therefore, Elijah, that's just what is going to happen because you said it. God's not that way. He had to correct him and say, no. And Elijah eventually had God deal with him. I could take so many confessions that people made and it didn't create it anymore. It's just when Jacob said, Joseph is not and Simeon is not and all these things are against me. Oh, you shouldn't have said that because now it's going to happen. No. God overrides our dumb tongue. God overrides and he's greater than that. He's a father. When my little kids were at the table and Kelly didn't know how to talk quite yet, like me half the time, and she said, I didn't say as a father, when you can say it right, I'll pass the peas and the beans. But that movement almost, you got to say it right. No, we've taken the fatherhood of God out of the picture. He's a father. And you, which are evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Will not God do the much more? How many know we have a heavenly father? And we're his children. And we don't get it right here all the time. But that's not what determines our end result. It's deep unto deep. I keep my heart right. And I try to walk with God. And God knows what's best. And he didn't, like I would to my child, when you can say it right, I'll give it to you. No parent does that. And no God does that. How many of you are blessed here? And it's because of his wonderful grace and his wonderful mercy and the nature and the character of God. Okay, I'm done. I want to deal with afflictions next week. Sherry. We understand. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody hear her heart? How many know that's what God hears? How many know he hears this before our dumb this? I'm not giving you a license for this, but he knows better. He knows your heart. Thank you, Sherry. We believe you. I have a lot of needs. I'm not ignoring them. Ignoring them suppresses it. Ignoring them destroys the prayer. Ignoring them and trying to make it something that it's not, and trying to get Bible to force it into it. I understand. Maybe some of them grew up where they were just sick of murmuring and complaining all the time, and they went too far with it. I don't know. It's not my point. But if you're sick, you're sick. And there's a healer. If you have a lost loved one, you have a lost loved one. Don't suppress it by the other one intimidating you into, well, I'm afraid if I say it, I don't have faith. No. Mm-mm. This is really good today. The Bible says, let another man praise thee, not thy own lips, but I'm just going to praise myself. Dennis, that's good preaching. Thank you. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you hear our heart. And I pray, Lord, that you let prayer warriors be birthed up in the church. And I pray, Lord, that the deception, the enemy, that when good seed is sown, the enemy came to sow bad seed and to choke out the word. And Lord, much of that teaching, it choked out the prayer warriors. It choked out the reality that existed to try to pretend to of a reality that's not there. And thus no prayer, no intercession went up. Oh God, may we not be ashamed. May we not back down. May we not dance to that tune. May we not give ourselves to that like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. I'm not dancing to false doctrine. I'm not dancing to false teaching. I'm not buying into that. I'm buying into thus saith the Lord and his word and all of his word. Debbie, would you come, please? Hallelujah. I'm praying God raise up prayer warriors. Do we have them? Yeah, I want more. I'm praying God raise up intercessors. Do we have them? Yeah, I want more. I was born in the fire. I know the sound that comes when there's God moving. Oh, the sound of one crying for a broken marriage. The one that's crying for a wayward child. The one that's crying for souls to be born as Hannah did. The one that's interceding in the prayer room like Sister McLaren did. Oh God, help us not to be intimidated and dance to the wrong music, but to dance to the sound of thy still small voice. Not to the you do, not to the false things that are out there. Oh God, insulate us, And may the Spirit, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, what the Word says. Oh God, bless your people. Lord, you'll do miracles, but you do them on your terms and not on our little things that we come up with to try to manipulate you, and that's ridiculous. God, let your people be strong. May they know, they that know their God shall do great exploits. And may we put our energy in knowing you. Oh, that I might know you, Paul said. If you have an affliction, would you come and let's stand? I have something and I'm not trying to put you into a way of communicating to God the way somebody else does, but I want you out of your heart. This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. And I don't want you to think because you acknowledge it that you don't have faith. You're asking God to do it. You're trusting God to do it. You're believing God to do it. Hallelujah. Come over up here. Anyone else? I have an affliction. I need God to intervene. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't even get to how God uses our afflictions, but he does. I don't understand why some of the heartbreaks I see, but I know that God will answer and will move. Would you just reach over and take the hand of the person next to you? Lord, on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. But before the Spirit was poured out, there was a sound that was heard from the mother of Jesus, Mary. There was a sound of Peter's recent repentance. There was the sound of the disciples, I'm sure, longing to see you and you to move because they had denied their Lord. There was different prayers from every camp and every walk that mixed together, and it makes a beautiful choir unto you. And, oh Lord, may each person, oh God, lift their voice. And may they look to you from whom all blessings flow. And God, may our voices mix together. May we also be of one accord. May we also join our hearts. May we have compassion on one another. May we pray one for another. And oh God, let your children go forth like an army, like a terrible army, believing God. But, oh God, only responding to the right sounds and not responding to wrong sounds and wrong teachings and wrong prophets and wrong this. But, oh, I must hear from God. Bless them, Lord. Oh, let that faith rise up. In the mighty name of Jesus, minister, I pray. Lord, may the Holy Spirit move. And may we look to him for our power. May we look to him for our strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, answer their prayers. As we pray one for another, oh, let your Spirit fall. Bring peace to these troubled hearts, oh God. Minister to Dorothy. Give her strength, give her peace. Oh God, unite our hearts. May we humble ourselves. May there be prayers of humility going up. May there be prayers, fervent prayers of a righteous man go up. May there be prayers of the cry of blind Bartimaeus. May there be the cries of the priest between the altars. May there be the cries of intercessory prayer going up. For lost souls, it hasn't happened. I accept that it has until you do it. And we pray until. Bless your people. Make them strong in you. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen.